of lightning, a transformer blows out. That energy becomes a fire looking for a place to go. And if that surge travels through the wires, it doesn't just pass through it. It can melt insulation, spark a flame. Eventually, sadly, it can burn the whole house down as a result. In our relationships, we are often just like those wires. When someone strikes us with a word, or a betrayal, or a literal blow, a surge of kinetic pain enters our bodies, our hearts, and our souls. Our natural instinct, our biological wiring, is to be a conductor. We want to pass that surge along. We want to give them what they gave us, so that we don't have to hold the heat. We think that by passing it back, we will get rid of it. Some of us have been taught that. It's okay to bully the bully. It's okay to hit back if that other person deserves it. God knows generations of young boys have been taught this, and some of those boys now hold great power and privilege in this world. As many of us know, early Christians were bullied for living out their faith. It's true. Romans didn't trust this new religion who lifted up the life and teachings of a man who was hung on a cross, a sentence for those who committed treason of all things to their empire. To live one's faith brought a surge of intimidation upon early Christians, prone to be harassed, pushed, shoved, ridiculed. We hear it clear as day in this morning's text. When someone strikes your right cheek. It's a bit odd why it's the right cheek. It could be that the person who's striking is a lefty, right? That they come at from the left hand. More likely, it was someone that was right-handed, biblical scholars believe. It was someone with the right hand. And so to strike the right cheek, it meant that they would have been using the back side of their hand, that this was a back slap that is being referenced here. And it means exactly what it means today. It's meant to be humiliating, intended to demean, disgrace another in a public setting. And so there was a debate as the early church was forming in its plethora and plurality of ways. Enough is enough. We are done being pushed out. Some believed it was their divine right to strike back. And deep within those pages of the Bible, and actually pretty shallow in some places, you can justify that in some ways. Matthew hears this conversation and begins to worry. As a faith leader in a troubled time, the writer of Matthew acknowledges different philosophies are floating around. You have heard it said, you have heard it taught, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If someone strikes you with words, you know what? You know some words that will get them back. If someone hits you with a betrayal, betray them the next time you get the chance. An eye for an eye. And we have heard that too, as Ron was saying. It's very common. Many have heard this. And many of us may agree with it in certain circumstances. Leviticus chapter 24 quotes eye for an eye, but it goes a little bit more, adds directly, the injury inflicted is the injury suffered. Saint Augustine of Hippo in the 4th century, around the time Christianity first held any sort of power or authority on a geopolitical level, immediately engaged in what is referred to as the just war theory. It means I can hit back if it's just ad dux, if it was a moral fight. I can hit back if it were just in bellum, done the right way. So if you have the moral high ground and you do it in the right way, you can use violence against violence. Most promoters of just war are quick to say it is the only way to defend peace, freedom, democracy, or whatever they're trying to defend, to end the war that always seems to be the war that will end all wars. The just war card is often the first option on the table. Why deal with uncomfortable dialogue or diplomacy to understand what someone is going through when we have the power to do something right now, quickly? Plus, it may feel good to win. Days, manifest destiny, slavery. We can see what's going on in Minneapolis. Christians justifying violence, thinking God's on their side, to seize others through oppressive, violent manners. This week, I pulled behind a truck at a stoplight, and on the back window, there was a sticker of a cross. So I know whoever was driving was a Christian. But next to that sticker in bold letters were the words, "I don't get mad, I get even." Then next to that was a silhouette of an AK-47. You might have seen something similar like that around. "You have heard it taught, an eye for an eye." Matthew lifts up a different teaching that Jesus frequently taught. Do not be an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on your right cheek, if anyone aims to humiliate or demean you, turn to the other cheek. Do you see what Matthew is trying to help the early church to do? Do you see how he's trying to rewire them into the ways of Christ? Christ is not about winners or losers, being great or not great. Jesus is consistent with using words like kingdom of God or peace, mercy, justice. Justice founded on not what someone deserves, but justice on what someone needs to live a full life. Jesus does not sit on the mount teaching disciples to transmit violence, but to transform it. Ethicist Stanley Hauerwas states, "At the heart of just war tradition, or I don't get mad, I get even, that practice is a Christian contradiction. It fails to take into account Christ's radical teachings and way of being, which sees each person as a child of God, even the one who would do us great harm, get even, or intimidate, even the friend or family member who has betrayed us, even our enemy is a child of God who God knows and loves deeply. And like a parent shows up and loves their child no matter how much they may get lost, how far they may wander, that God, like that parent, longs for their wholeness and happiness every single minute." To transform violence, Matthew reminds the church that Christ stands between, shields, turns the other cheek. So, Pastor, you're telling us that to take these words and these social media posts, when someone really wants to do us harm, and just to turn the other way, seems like giving up, seems weak. And if it helps, I struggle with it too. More and more with my children. Walter Wink was an American biblical scholar active in South Africa's struggle for freedom. And he often told a story of a black woman walking with her children on a South African street when a white man suddenly spat in her face. Instead of responding with anger, the woman turned to the scowling man and responded, "Thank you. And now for the children." His assertion of power had no effect on her. Her life and her power was being drawn from a deeper source that was rooted in something everlasting and true. And as a result, the man then hurried away without a word, confused, perhaps even shamed. Nonviolence still means standing for something. It means putting your body where Christ put his body, doing the work of healing and sharing and caring for those around you. And when a short-sighted, winner-take-all power steps in your way, it means standing your ground, not with a weapon, but with an agape love, a selfless love, self-giving love that can embrace even the one doing harm. It reveals the cruelty of spitting men, masked agents, fire hoses and dogs for what they really are, and presents a paradox, a new kingdom, deeper love that can transform violence and not transmit it. What else could the cross mean? But God choosing to love those who knew not what they were doing. In every structure, there are copper wires in the walls. And there's also this humble piece of equipment that does a very brave job, the circuit breaker. When lightning strikes, when the surge of violence hits the wire, and the house is at risk of burning, the circuit breaker says, it stops here. It takes the hit. It feels the heat. And it intentionally breaks the connection so that the fire cannot travel any further. The cross is a circuit breaker. For God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son so that everyone who believed in him may not perish, but live and live forever. Church, God is with you. Stand in power. Turn the other cheek. Be the circuit breaker. Trusting God's power to transform hearts, systems of oppression, kingdoms of war into kingdoms of peace. Amen.